Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot Trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through yet again today. With us is a returning guest to the News Hour. She was on here years ago, and we're so pleased to be able to connect with Dr. Anissa Ramirez and her new book, The Alchemy of Us, How Humans and Matter Transformed One Another. And before you say, oh no, not a scientific book, this is an amazing collection of stories about how stuff happened and the impact on each one of us. Dr. Ramirez, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you back, ma'am.
Oh, so nice to be back. Thank you.
This is a stunning book for lots of different reasons. First of all, it's called The Alchemy. Define what that is for folks that don't know what alchemy might be.
Well, long ago, there were people who thought that they would be able to convert ordinary metals into gold. And so they used to combine crazy things like eye of newt and other kinds of weird ingredients.
And toe of frog, right?
And yeah, part of a frog with the intention of creating something that was, you know, not particularly lovely into gold. And so alchemy was actually the predecessor of chemistry. And so that's the reason why I call the book The Alchemy of Us, because it's hinting that we're going to talk about transforming something from one thing to another, and it's going to deal a little bit with chemistry.
And if you look at the cover of the book, you have a large A and a U, which if my chemistry classes, if I remember correctly, is that not the symbol for gold?
Yeah, it's a pretty clever book. If you don't know chemistry, it's just going to pull you in because it's the letters are arranged in a very strange way.
Yep.
But if you did sit through a boring chemistry class, you might see the big A and the little U, which is the symbol for gold.
Absolutely. And there is gold within these pages, too, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and start with something that I connected with in your foreword. You talk about chemistry class. You always wanted to be a scientist ever since you were a small child. Mm-hmm. And so you start down this path and you go to chemistry class and science classes. What happened in those classes to you?
Well, what happened to me was what happened to a lot of people. Those classes were absolutely boring, and they seemed designed to push people out of the sciences. So here you have someone who's very eager, wanting to be a scientist, which we should encourage, and you end up in a class, and everyone around you is struggling, and you know, every class you go to, there's less and less people there being pushed out by the class. And so I was nearly one of those folks that was pushed out by this class until I bumped into a teacher who helped me get through the process. And when I eventually got my degree in material science, I said, you know, we're not teaching science right, and I'm going to do everything in my power to fix that. And so that was one of the reasons why I wrote The Alchemy of Us, is a way to bring people back to science if they had been pushed out.
And you have been an outspoken proponent for all kinds of STEM issues, and particularly, if I might add, women in STEM, as well as individuals of color being in science. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, I think STEM is for everyone, but there's particularly low numbers for people of color and for women. And if we knew more about what STEM really was, which is generating creative problem solvers, then we would see that everyone could be involved in STEM. It's not just these geeky guys that are doing things that we don't understand. Everyone makes something, especially in your neck of the woods. People are in the process of making things happen all the time. Well, that's the STEM mindset. And so that's one of the things that I push.
It's a fascinating look at the educational system. I have to ask you, because you mentioned something about you had a mentor that helped you finally turn on the light. What was it that he or she did that said that made Anissa Ramirez go, got it?
Well, I've had many great teachers, and I really value teachers. But in The Alchemy of Us, I talk about Dr. Friend.
Yeah.
And he said, I was sitting in this class and I knew it was going to be boring. It was called Introduction to Material Science. Could you think of anything more boring? And then the first day, he said, the reason why we don't fall through the floor, the reason why my sweater is blue, and the reason why the lights work, all has to do with atoms. And if you can understand how they do that, you can get them to do new things. Now, when he said that, I stopped listening to him because I was like, he's right. Yeah, my shoes are comfortable because the molecules are kind of shaped like springs. And my glasses, they help me see because that material is bending light to my retinas. And the pencil in my hand, it's able to work because sheets of carbon atoms are sliding past each other. He made the whole world make sense to me. And it was that moment that I decided that I wanted to be a material scientist.
The practicality of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And the things that we use every single day and have no concept oftentimes where they come from, as in your very first chapter. I mean, this is a book that's not only about chemistry and science and material, but it's also a history compendium about many things none of us know about. Who would have thought in your very first chapter, you're talking about how, and this is, I was stunned, the springs in a watch and how that was a function of science. Can you share just a bit about that?
Well, if you go back to your grandfather's place or your grandmother's place, they would have old clocks, and sometimes they would be out of sync. And that was how all of the world was. We never really had very accurate clocks. And one of the ways to make them more accurate was to have better materials inside. And what we really needed was a spring that could create the ticks and tocks of a clock. And it was very hard to make very good springs long, long time ago. And so there was a gentleman named Benjamin Huntsman who figured out how to make a very great type of steel that made that type of spring so that we can have accurate clocks.
And how he went about doing that was a painstaking process. And today we give it no thought. I mean, it works. And so where did it come from? And that's the essence of this question, Doctor. Because this is as much about science as it is history, how in the world were you able to do the research that it took to come up with these very intriguing stories about the family for generations that actually sold time? That's amazing.
That's one of my favorite stories. There was a woman in England in the 19th century who sold time walking around in London with her watch, which she got the accurate time by going to the observatory and then went to train stations and newspapers and the like. And I found that story because I was doing research for this book for many years, and I was reading a very thick, boring book on horology, which is the study of timekeeping. And there was one sentence that said, in the 19th century, there was a woman who sold time. And I said, what? And that put me on the path to figure out who this woman was. Her name is Ruth Belville. She was called the Greenwich Time Lady. And her family had been in this business of selling time for 100 years. Yeah. And so when I found her, I said, you know what? This book is really about stories. It's really about telling these individual stories of people I've never heard about, bringing them to light, and then just peppering the science. So we do call this a science book, but it's really a book of stories and about inventors and about people who use technologies in ways that we never heard of, like a woman selling time, so that we can really have a better understanding of how our world came to be.
Our guest is Dr. Anicia Ramirez. She is a scientist, materials scientist, a famed lecturer, and also a podcaster, which was interesting. I checked out your podcast. The most recent one that I was able to find was about how we used to sleep generations and generations ago, the two sleeps. And again, this is something I'd never heard of, and how clocks and the utilization of clocks changed all of that. We used to have two sleeps. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's crazy. It ends up that before the Industrial Revolution, before all these machines and factories were around, we used to sleep differently. We slept in two segments. We would go to bed around 9 o'clock, sleep for about 3.5 hours, then wake up on purpose, do things around the house, do a puzzle, clean, do other things around the house, and then stay up for about an hour, and then go back to sleep for another 3.5 hours. Those segments were called first and second sleep, and everyone slept that way. Huh. In fact, you can go back and look at old books, Don Quixote, Jane Eyre. They'll say first sleep and second sleep. That's what they mean. That there were two intervals of sleep.
And why was that?
Well, what changed it was, people think that that is the natural way to sleep. It ends up that humans are one of the few mammals that sleep for a long amount of time. Most species wake up, do things around the nature, and then go back to sleep. So many people think that's the natural way of sleeping. But why sleeping changed for us was it was two impacts. It was the clock and it was the lights. The lights allowed us to go to bed later. So one of those segments of sleep became truncated. And the clocks forced us that we had to wake up earlier to get to the factory. And so that second sleep also became truncated.
It's just fascinating. And of course, that is all gone for the most part. Yeah, because we are so time conscious. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the first chapter. And the weaving of these stories that are so incredible but true, and you're going, wow, this is amazing. So you not only talk about, in your book, it's called The Alchemy of Us, you not only talk about people that we've maybe never heard of, you talk about some very famous people in your book and about some predilections that they had that we may not be aware of. And one was Samuel Morse. Samuel Morse and the Morse code was he hated Catholics and Irish people, and he thought the end of civilization was coming should these minority groups get a toehold in the United States. I mean, who knew, right?
Yeah, and it kind of resonates today. It's the same kind of language. When you read the old letters from Samuel Morse, he was a man of his time, and he would have been very comfortable in what's going on right now. So, but it was good to show Samuel Morse in all of his colors, because we can't just look at one side of a genius. We have to look at all sides and see how they operated in the world so that we see them as human. And that's really what I try and do in The Alchemy of Us. I really try and show that science and technology is a human pursuit made by very flawed humans. And that gives rise to flawed societies, which we're in the process of trying to fix once we know about how these technologies shape us, which is the second part of my book.
And one of the things that I've got to ask is, as you were researching this book, and I know just from going through it, that it took years to put together, because there's so many in-depth stories about people we know and those whom we have no idea ever existed, but who have made an indelible mark on our society today. Mm-hmm. Those people are still out there. Would that be accurate? I mean, there are people out there today that we'll never know of who are doing great things.
Sure. Well, that's science. Science is made possible by many, many people, many unnamed people that make small iterative process that helps the next generation and the next generation get to where we are. But what I was trying to do in The Alchemy of Us is put a name to many folks who made significant contributions, but they were overlooked because more famous people were around or somehow they just became hidden. But science is definitely about many nameless people who made contributions.
As you were writing this book, was there one of these aha? We talked about the woman that sold time that you just stumbled upon. Was there another that came to you and you go, "What is this?" And then followed it up with a great story.
Well, I mean, each chapter for me had an aha, because I said, if I had that response, then I know that a reader is going to have that response. Like, I didn't know that about Samuel Morse, or I didn't know that about Polaroid photography. Right. That was my biggest aha. I love Polaroid's instant cameras, but I had no idea that it actually helped to buttress the apartheid system in South Africa. And so I dug and found the story and actually interviewed key people who were part of that story in the 1970s when they found out that Polaroid was selling its cameras to South Africa.
Yeah, it is an amazing story. It's an amazing book. Do not let the title scare you, because when we're talking about the ideas of science, this is really a book about history and how science and history combine and how they have impacted our life today. I'm thrilled with you being on the show. Thank you. But
thank
more
you.
Than that, I am just, I've become a big fan again, and we'll spread this far and wide because people need to, you know, with all of the stuff that's going on in the world today, Dr. Ramirez, with all of the stuff that is going on and how heavy all of this is, I found when I picked up your book and started to read it that I was able to escape the horrors of what we see happening all around us, even if it was for just a bit, and dive into some really fascinating stories about how our lives have changed due to some very interesting people. So thank you.
Thank you, and that's so wonderful to hear.
Once again, that's the voice of Dr. Anissa Ramirez and her book, The Alchemy of Us. Yeah, you heard me gushing a bit there, didn't you? Well, I mean it, sincerely. This is a book that you must get. It is a fascinating read. The stories are incredible. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for us by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Dr. Ramirez, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.